Good morning. It's Friday, May 23rd, and on today's podcast, we're going to preview the softball Super Regional that gets underway today at Bogle Park, Arkansas versus Ole Miss. We'll have Anthony Christensen in studio, and also got to catch up with ESPN commentator Mike Cousins, who was on the call last week for the Regional. But first, a word from our sponsor, Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Welcome back in. We're going to get into the softball Super Regional talk. I have Anthony Christensen here next to me. But before we get into that, I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. Serving its community since 1971, Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. Looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas? Looking for skilled craftsmanship? Choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Come by and see us at 507 South Main in Bentonville or at bentonvilleglass.com. Anthony, we're about to have another day at the ballpark. It seems like we were just there.
Yeah, because we were.
We were.
We were just there yesterday.
Yeah, well, it seems like we were just there watching games, because that's how this postseason works. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like all this buildup, I feel like, to postseason any sport. And then once it gets there, it just keeps coming.
It goes thick and fast.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the basketball tournament that we went and covered. I feel like we were...
It was nonstop.
Yeah, I feel like it was like go.
Every day was just a million miles an hour. But it was fun. I'm having fun with this too, so
yeah it is a blast.
I've got no complaints.
I will say it's really nice.
I lied. I do have complaints.
Wait, what's the complaint?
Weather delays.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if we're going to be in the clear this weekend.
I doubt we will be. I turned on Interstellar during the last weekend. Just at the end, as soon as I turned it on, it was time to go back, so we didn't get to watch the movie. But
yeah. Well,
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We're having a good time.
That's the
morning.
Only complaint. It's fun. Postseason sports, fun.
Well,
weather delay is not fun.
What I was going to say is I'm just glad that in the way that softball works, Arkansas got a high enough seed that we are staying in Fayetteville for the first. Like, I mean, because putting this in perspective to what happened, you know, with the basketball tournament that we covered, it was literally, I felt like, pack a suitcase, go somewhere, get back, do the laundry on said suitcase, pack it again, and leave the next day. But with softball, I mean, they're a high enough seed that it's literally just like, all right, drive down to Fayetteville.
Yeah, I get to stay in my own bed. We don't have to go from coast to coast, like literally coast to coast, Providence to San Francisco. Don't get me wrong, I loved that. I had a lot of fun with that. But it is nice to, I get to see my dog. That's nice.
Very nice.
And and it's, you know, it Bogle's like a 15-minute drive from my apartment, which is very good. And it's been some high-level softball too, so it's been a lot of fun to be there. Been fun to cover it alongside my good friend Ethan here, and it's been great.
It's funny, like we mentioned for us how nice it is to be able to stay, you know, like in the area and just drive to Bogle, a place we're familiar with. I tend to think, especially in the way that postseason softball, it's probably, you know, baseball applicable too, how it works, it's got to be nice with all these weather delays and just the unexpectedness of these regionals for Arkansas, the team, getting to be at home. Because you think about what happened last Sunday, and I'll be curious to hear your perspective on this too, what you think. Well, actually, we can backtrack to last Saturday. Arkansas comes back and beats Oklahoma State in a thriller, 6-5. They had to score four runs over the final two innings of before extra innings just to send it to extras. And I think that took a real emotional toll probably on Oklahoma State, that they had to stick around, stay at the ballpark, and play again that night just to keep their season alive, while Arkansas, on the other hand, gets to go home, go to their apartment, wherever they live, get some rest, turn around the next day, which, lo and behold, weather strikes, and you have to wait even longer. I just think that, like, whenever you're at home and you're getting to kind of be in your more familiar territory, it's probably a lot easier to battle back from the adverse situations that Oklahoma State and Arkansas face, but more so Oklahoma State with that emotional loss, and the fact that Arkansas is just more routine. Oklahoma State having to go back to your hotel, go back on the bus, do all this stuff just because you lost one game. What do you think, like, as far as just your perspective? You, I mean, this is for this season, I think your first couple weekends at Bogle, so it's your first time being around this team extensively. What are kind of your takeaways, like the vibe of the team, of just like their comfort level that you sense?
I would agree with that. I think it helps to play at home. I you know, speaking from my own experience as an athlete, when you play at home and you know, if you go through it, even if they had lost that game to Oklahoma State, if you're at home, you can, you know, go to, you know, a place that you like, that you're comfortable with, just to like unwind for a little bit or something like that. Just speaking from my own experience as an athlete, but no, you can definitely tell that they're comfortable, I think, at home. I think they're enjoying that. They get that home field advantage and everything that comes along with that. So I think that's definitely something that I've noticed, and it's what I've noticed kind of in my own, you know, experience covering postseason in the past. You know, this isn't my first softball tournament. My first beat in college was the Mizzou softball beat. So they were one game away from Oklahoma City when I covered that team, and they got upset by James Madison the Odyssey Alexander year. So that was still a lot of fun to cover. But you could tell even with that team that they were feeling good to be at home. They were comfortable there. It obviously didn't end the way they wanted it to, but there's certainly advantages to it. You're comfortable in the environment. You know where everything is. You don't have to ask questions to, you know, custodians or just stewards or whoever's around, just to be like, hey, where's the restroom? Or hey, where's, you know, X, Y, and Z? I think there is a comfort level to that. And obviously you're playing at home in front of your home fans, which is obviously going to be an added bonus to that. So I think that's kind of the biggest thing that I've noticed, is that they are comfortable. They're enjoying the experience of playing at home, and there's no place like home, right? I know it's a cliche, but it's an advantage for sure.
Yeah, by the time that y'all are listening to this podcast, the game might already be underway. They actually got moved up. It was supposed to be a 7 p.m. first pitch. Weather strikes. You can look at the forecast, see that it's probably going to be pretty rainy this evening in Fayetteville. So now it's moved up to 11 a.m., and I'm curious just how that's going to impact the crowd. I do think that, you know, at Arkansas there's enough like widespread fan support that a lot of people that were planning to come at 7 p.m. I know that you're going to have your people who have work, they can't cut off work to come at 11 a.m., but I tend to think that on a weekend like this, there's probably a lot of people who could adjust their plans and still make it 11 a.m., but I still probably think that you would have a bigger crowd in the evening. I'm curious to just
especially if it's like it's Memorial Day weekend. People are already kind of probably checked out, right?
Yeah.
Long weekend. Just cut them loose early.
Yeah, right? That's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm like, I don't think it'll be as good of a crowd as they would have had originally, because anytime you change any plans, I mean, you're going to lose a little bit of it. But I mean, you might also gain some people that couldn't come this evening. I'll just be curious to see how it looks, because I think they're planning a wide out for the crowd tonight. Mm-hmm. And if it's anything like the Texas Super Regional in 2022, I mean, there were people on the Fayetteville High School hill watching the game across the street, and there was somebody on the roof of a house across the street watching it. Like, it was a big crowd, and I think that they're going to be able to pull that, probably the biggest crowd tomorrow with it being a Saturday and everything, pending how that shakes out. I think that one might get altered due to weather. We'll just have to see, but
don't put that in the world. Don't put that out.
The Weather Channel and National Weather Service put it in the world before me. I was checking that forecast. I said, all right, this is bad news. I will say,
Interstellar will be turned on.
This past weekend at Vogel Park on Sunday, number one, it was supposed to start at like 3 p.m. and there was like some off and on rain. And like you could tell, like, okay, they're going to probably delay this because they'll get a window. That window that it appeared they'd have, it lasted like, didn't even last. I mean, they literally do the national anthem and the starting lineups, and you see lightning just strike in the distance, and you see the site coordinator, Natalie, she's just waving her arms at the press box like, hey, we got to stop this right now. Like, don't go any further. And not but 10 minutes after that lightning strike, we saw
it's like a torrential downpour.
The craziest cloud I've ever seen in my life. Just a huge shelf cloud.
Yeah, it did not look good.
The thing is, it was just
it
like...
It did not look like there was going to be any softball play.
Yeah. I said, if we're playing this tonight, we're going to be here late.
We were.
It started rolling in, that cloud did. And I mean, it was one of the crazier weather phenomenons I've ever seen, as far as like how fast that cloud moved. Like, it was literally, you could see a far away in the distance, but could do the countdown of like, oh, it'll be here in 30, 29. And sure enough, I mean, once it came down, it was crazy. And the fact that they were able to still play that game, the grounds crew at Bogle, Austin Freeman and his team, I don't know how they got the warning track. It looked like a river. They got that thing dried up. And I think what happened, quite frankly, is this. So there's a rule in NCAA softball, and this applies for regional and super regional for weather cancellation, potential ones. If they have to cancel a game or two and they can't finish it out, the higher seeded team advances. So originally Oklahoma State was kind of like fine with just like, take your time, I don't think we should play today. And then they got alerted of that rule by the site coordinator.
We gotta play this game.
They're like, we gotta get this in. And all of a sudden let's get it going. And for sure. I mean, they could have played again Monday morning if needed. But like, if you didn't play any games on Sunday, you'd have to try and squeeze in two Monday before more severe weather rolled in. And that's risky, because even if Oklahoma State theoretically wins game six and forces game seven, and you can't play game seven, the higher seed would advance with the same loss record in the regional. So Kenny Gajewski, their coach, was like, we got to get this one in. And sure enough, they did. And I hate to think of what would have happened had Arkansas lost that game, because it ended late enough as is. They would have tried to squeeze in that game seven like that night. We would have been there.
We would have been there until 2 a.m. Because we were still there just working after the game until midnight, right?
I don't even know what time.
Right?
I lose track of time.
It was late.
Yeah, it was very late. But, man, how did I go chasing this topic? I don't know where I started.
I don't know where this began, but you know what? We're carving our own. It's a metaphor for life. You're carving your own path.
I think this started. Actually, I know exactly where it started. Where you said I was putting bad things in the world by saying the forecast this weekend not looking great. But hey, they're gonna try and get some softball in, because this is the rules with super regional with rain. If they play zero games, Arkansas would advance, so the higher seed. If they play one game and they can't play the final two, whoever won that one game advances. If they play two games and you're split and can't play the winner take all game three, Arkansas would advance because they're the higher seed. So Ole Miss, unless they win game one, will be like rain, go away. I mean, that's just how it is, because of this time of year, this area. I mean, it's going to happen with baseball regional. Just watch. The rain just takes over.
Don't put that out in the world, man.
I mean, we're on a...
Don't put this out there.
I have evidence of, I don't know how many years in a row, it's going to happen. It just, at some point or another, like, we made it to the last day of the Fayetteville softball regional, and you were like, okay, this is going to be the day that it happens, because we haven't had it yet, and it's not allowed.
You got to think positively.
I guess.
no bad weather.
Yesterday we had our media day at Bogle with Arkansas and Ole Miss. What were your general thoughts, I guess, of hearing the two teams talk about the matchup?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff you'd expect to hear, right? You know, teams that have played each other, they're always going to be like, well, that was a long time ago. Now it's a different game. Which, I mean, it is. Postseason is always going to be different. And, you know, it was a long time ago. And things change. Coaches adjust things and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of the big thing that you kind of take away from that, is that, you know, these teams know about each other, they've played against each other, they've obviously scouted each other, they know each other from the SEC, they know, I mean, I think at this stage of the year, everybody kind of knows everything about each other, so it's not like they're going to be caught off guard by anything the other team does, I mean, barring something kind of wild, which I don't know what that would be. So I think that's kind of the big thing that I took away, is that, yeah, these teams, they know about each other, they know, you know, who they are, they know what to expect, just kind of in general terms, and they've seen each other, albeit, you know, a long time ago. But I think that's the biggest thing that I took from it, and yeah, I think that it seems like everybody's just excited to play some softball. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a weird weekend in March. It was the SEC opener for both teams, and Arkansas, quite frankly, like, that's the worst they've looked all season, so they're hoping that was just, like, not a matchup-based, like... Which I think there's evidence now to prove that even after getting swept by OU, the run that they went on, that they really were, they are a much better team now than they were then. That, there's no doubt about that. But there is something to be said about, I mean, they did lose a series. I don't care if it was when they were playing their worst. Like, this is an Ole Miss team that they definitely cannot overlook. I mean, they lost to them earlier this year. Talk about rain. Game two in that series, it was pouring in Oxford. And I was just waiting. Like, you're watching this broadcast and you're seeing the rain dripping off Robin Heron's ponytail. You're like, when are they going to stop? When are they going to just say, this is not safe? And they just kept playing.
It's the Hogs Weather Network today. The Hogs Weather Network Sports
Matt
Podcast.
Matt Jones is so upset he's not here for the weather talk. I'm just kidding.
Matt is listening to this. He's like, these guys know what they're talking about.
No. Matt knows what he's talking about. Matt is our weather. He, like, one day just told me, oh, it's going to be severe weather because of this cloud coverage and blah, blah. And lo and behold, that night, I'm like, Matt predicted this. So,
do you remember when there was still, like, ice, like a pile of snow in the parking lot, like, a while after that? I think it was, like, the first big snow of the winter. And obviously everything had kind of melted away, and there was still just like this pile of snow that was just like shoveled, like pushed into like one big pile. And Matt was like, that pile's still being there. That means there's going to be another big snow. He's like, how could you possibly say that? And then like 2 weeks later, we got like a foot of snow.
Yeah.
It was like Matt, the meteorologist.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Farmer's Almanac needs to get this man as a freelancer, but...
Shout out, Matt.
We are talking a lot of weather today, but I mean, it's valid because this time of year, like, weather is a huge part of these sports. I mean, SEC baseball tournament, I know that they've already had something adjusted in Hoover because of rain there, and I'll be shocked if they make it a whole weekend there without more of it, because they always get it there. Matt Jones will actually be there in Hoover covering the Razorbacks. Lo and behold, they also play Ole Miss today to get their SEC tournament stay started. So there's a lot of Arkansas versus Ole Miss going on. I do think that this matchup today, it's going to come down to most time it does in bat and ball sports, but pitching. I mean, it's just which team is going to have the best pitching, because both teams have lineups that can produce. You think about Arkansas, what was so impressive about the Oklahoma State wins is the bottom of the lineup just came up huge. Like, the top of the lineup wasn't what it has been, but it wasn't bad per se. I mean, I do think if you had to said Briellis isn't going to get a base hit all weekend, it's hard to like imagine a world where Arkansas is like beating a team 12-0, but that's exactly what they did, which I think that's what's scary about the Arkansas lineup moving forward, is if they're hitting on all cylinders like that without her in the mix, I mean, you aren't going to hold her down too long. I promise you that, watching her all year. So I think it's going to come down to pitching. I think that Arkansas, it's probably going to be today, I think, like Robin Heron versus Brianna Lopez for them, which are both lefties, both have a nice changeup. Both have a nice curve, I think. It's one of those pitching matchups, I think, which offense is ready to attack the other one more. But I do think there's something to be said this time of year with postseason experience. And Robin Heron's pitched in a lot of postseason games. She's just a junior, but she's been put in big situations in the NCAA tournament already. We got to talk to Robin and Bree Ellis after they got done practicing yesterday. What did you think of just like the vibe that they had?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, obviously Robin has been, she's talked about, you know, just her own personal confidence to step up in those big moments. I think, you know, Courtney Dyfel also talked about that a little bit. I don't remember if it was yesterday or after the Oklahoma State game. All the days just kind of run together in my head at this stage of the year. But, you know, that first Oklahoma State game, you know, Courtney Dyfel had said, you know, she didn't pitch poorly. It's just that, you know, sometimes things just kind of happen. But then she comes back in the next game, and then she tosses a shutout. So I think you can kind of see the confidence she has in herself and in the defense as well. And I think, you know, with Bree Ellis, obviously, I know, you know, she didn't have, you know, the regional that maybe people would expect of her, just because, I mean, I don't think she got a base hit, which is, like you said, very surprising. But, you know, she is who she is. She's going to be confident in that. And, you know, like you said, I don't think you can really keep her down all that long. So it'll be interesting to see that. And I think that I think they both kind of show that they're feeling confident about not just themselves, but the team as a whole.
Yeah, I haven't run the numbers. I'd be interested to see, like, Bree Ellis did not have a hit in the regional, but I'd still curious her on base percentage, because just being on, like, her presence in the box, I mean, they walked her to load the bases for Courtney Day.
Unintentional walks.
Exactly. Yeah. They did it. Like, she hadn't had a hit all game, and Courtney Day had already tied – or had a double in the inning before, and they loaded the bases for Bree Ellis to get to Courtney Day, and Courtney Day just hit. Got another hit and walked him off, Oklahoma State. It's like Bree Ellis' impact on the game, just like being on the team at this point.
It's still very prevalent.
It gets them bases. Yeah. I mean, also, like, the second game against Oklahoma State, she pops up a ball, like, mile high, and, like,
she turns it into a double.
Just turns into, because she just likes that. She's like, she never gave up on the play. And the first baseman for Oklahoma State just did not catch the ball. And it's like, you wonder how much of that, like, people committing errors. It's not the first time that she's reached via an error this year. How much, like, just her presence makes defenders overthink, like, how big of an out it is to get. You just wonder, like, how big her impact is on teams' mental, because that's, like, circled, highlighted in the three hole that she's up to bat, and it's, like, the most important out for other teams. So I'm always curious, you know, whenever she reaches in ways like that, how much it's, like, just the fear factor.
Yeah, just, like, a mentality thing. So. You could definitely see that. I mean, when she's, you know, who she is, obviously she just won the Softball America Player of the Year. Like, you know, I know it's not just because of her hitting. She's also a very good fielder as well. But a lot of that does kind of come down to just how effective she is at the plate, and not just from a home run perspective, but she puts the ball in play. She gets on base, even if it's, you know, via a walk or an error. So, you know, obviously she's very effective in that way. So it's, yeah, I think it does kind of come. Yep. It, at least in part, probably comes down to that, yeah.
And what's crazy about her, I mean, the walk-off grand slam against Georgia has gotten a lot of attention, rightfully so, because she didn't have to see a strike all day, and then the moment she did, it was a walk-off grand slam. She said, like, I was just trying to put the ball, like, I was just trying to get a, like, something deep enough that you could send a run home and win the game. And she's just so powerful. It was like, well, great. You did more than that.
It's like,
oh,
look at that. It's on the highway.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, way to scrape the moon with that one. But this is a big weekend for them. It's been the monkey on their back getting to Oklahoma City, because they've been short three times that they've hosted super regionals, or been in super regionals. They've had two in Fayetteville, one at OU, the first one that Arkansas qualified for. This would be big for them to break through. And on the other side, Ole Miss is also...
It's the same thing.
It's the same deal for them. They haven't been to as many as Arkansas, but they haven't won a game in Super Regionals. So I think both programs feel that monkey on their back, and it's going to be a breakthrough weekend for one of the two. But I think with Arkansas, it's just like... there's just a different vibe about this team, because I covered the two previous home Super Regional teams, and I just think this team has been through more of the battle this year, as far as like their SEC schedule was just... relentless. I mean, you look at who's left and you're like, holy cow, you played everybody. I mean, even in non-conference, they played UCLA, who's still alive. It's like they've seen everybody at this point. So I just think this team's like built in a way that's maybe like, I said from the beginning of the year, I said, once you add Texas and OU to this league, like it gets a lot stronger. And I don't know where Arkansas falls in the pecking order. Like finishing fifth in conference this year is not as high as they've done the past few years, but I was like, I just think that this team will probably be more battle tested for postseason than the previous ones, because there won't be any fear factor. And I think that we saw that last weekend with Oklahoma State, a team that's been to five Women's College World Series in a row and knows what it takes to win in the postseason, and Arkansas swept the regional.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the other side of a break, we're gonna hear from Mike Cousins. He's the ESPN commentator who covered the Arkansas regional last weekend. Got to sit down and talk with him on Zoom yesterday just about his experience at Bogle Park and what he thinks about the Razorbacks. Stay tuned.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King. We are Soapbox. We are ShopCart. We are design.
And as promised, joined by Mike Cousins. He was on the call for Arkansas's regional action here, where they defeated Oklahoma State in the final to advance to the Super Regional. Mike, thanks for joining.
Hey, glad to be back with you. And it looks like it's much, much more beautiful than when I left, when it was pouring rain that Sunday.
Yeah, let's start on that note. What did you think about that storm system that rolled in before we were finally able to? I don't know what they would have done had they needed another game also, by the way. Storms rolled through the next day as well.
Well, we're lucky that the NCAA, I think the curfew for a first pitch of a last game to be thrown is somewhere around midnight local time. So we had a lot of time to work with. But yeah, no, it was definitely a little scary. I sat up in the booth the entire time. mostly because I didn't want any water to come through and get on any of the equipment or anything. So it was certainly a sight to behold. But from my experience doing regionals, my first year of covering college softball was 2018. If you go through 3 days and you don't have a drop of rain, that's more the exception than anything else. Last year, I went out to Stanford and we knew we weren't going to have any rain, but anywhere in the south or the southeast this time of year, you're probably going to get a rain delay at some point.
Yeah, for sure. It almost felt inevitable that we were going to get something on Sunday since we hadn't the previous 2 days. What did you think of Bogle? Was it your first time out to cover a game at Arkansas, or had you been before?
So I've been out for football before, but I have never been for softball, and it was phenomenal. From our perspective, which nobody cares about, we're sitting in the same chair for like 10 hours a day, so you want to make sure that there's going to be good space in the booth. That was phenomenal. The fan support was excellent. Even for the games where Arkansas wasn't playing, there were a lot of fans out there. So I thought it was tremendous. And to see the number of people who stayed after a 4 hour and 15 minute weather delay was really impressive, especially considering, I don't know if school is out just about everywhere, but I know parents have to go to work on Monday. So I was impressed by the dedication of the folks who came out and stayed.
Yeah, you talk about the fans staying around, and it meant a lot to them. Of course, y'all got to do the on-field interview afterwards with Courtney Dyfel after they had, punched their ticket to the Super Regional. There was some emotion that came out of her. Just what did you think from your experience? I know y'all get to talk to the coaches kind of before it all starts, a little bit behind the scenes. Just what are your kind of thoughts on her and what she's been able to do at Arkansas?
I think what has stood out the most, beyond just the resume of what she's done on the field, of being SEC Coach of the Year twice and the success they've had this year, matching their highest national seed at number four, is the way that players talk about the relationships that they have with her, and how when you go into the portal, let's take Bree Ellis as a perfect example. Coming from a program where she didn't feel like she was enabled to be the best version of herself that she could be, and that she wore a lot of that on her shoulders because they had one really good pitcher and they had one really good hitter on that Auburn team that she came from. And so she told us when she went into the portal a couple of years ago that she wanted a coach who was going to let her be herself, meaning play in her own style, but also not say, well, we know you're already the best player, so we're not going to try and make you any better than you already are. And we saw this too with Oklahoma State with Kenny Gajewski. And it's a different dynamic of male versus female, but of a coach showing themselves who they really are versus being the hard-nosed coach and saying, we're going to do things my way. And if we don't, then too bad. And those are the coaches that you see burn out after 3 or 4 years, because if they don't have success, half their team goes into the portal and it's a rebuilding process for those programs. So that was one thing that she did say was her. And Coach Gasso and Coach Michael said, we let the players in a little bit more this year. Not to say that they didn't have good personal relationships already, but to say we wanted to show the players how invested we are and to be a little bit more loose with them. And it's clearly paid off in terms of the results that when everybody has more fun, it translates to better results on the field.
What did you think in general of the performance from the team this weekend? I know that let's focus in first, I guess, on that game on Saturday, because let's face it, the most important game of a regional most of the time is that first just winner versus winner in the winner's bracket matchup, because if you lose that, it's an uphill climb to get out of it. What did you think of that game for Arkansas to come out alive?
Well, I certainly wasn't impressed through 5 innings. And then Natalia Rijo hits a home run in the sixth inning to make it a 3-run game. They tie it in the seventh, win it in the eighth on Courtney Day's walk-off base hit. But, you hear about it in baseball, you hear about it in softball. It's a long season. And over time, the cream is going to rise to the top. Now, Rijo's home run, like we talked to Courtney Day about her, and she goes, we didn't know what she was going to be like coming back off of injury this season. And yet I think she played every game or maybe every game but one at shortstop and came through and against Oklahoma State was somewhere in the neighborhood of like 7 for 8 at the plate. Just not what you expected coming into the series, because you would have said, well, if anybody's going to come through in the clutch, it's going to be Bree Ellis or it's going to be Courtney Day. And it was the latter there, but it takes a whole team effort because when you have a situation where the opponents have decided, we're just not going to pitch to your best hitter, then it's got to be the other people who come through. So it ended up being Day, it ended up being Wyckoff, and you need to win those types of games to be able to be successful in the postseason, because they're not going to be the Friday game where you have a 5-inning no-hitter. They're not going to be the Sunday game where you blow out your opponent and you win in 6 innings. If you want to get to the World Series, you have to be able to win those games where you're going to come from behind, or you have to battle it out in a one-run game.
Yeah, on that note, with the Arkansas lineup, I don't think many people would have gone into the regional hearing that Brielas didn't record a base hit. They were going to come out, on top. But she was still impactful. We talk about on Saturday how they walked her to load the bases for Courtney Day, who came up and delivered. But really, it felt like the whole theme of the weekend for Arkansas was the bottom of the lineup and what Riho, Davison, Kennedy Miller did. When you look at Arkansas from what you saw this past weekend, what do you think it is about that lineup that makes it so difficult for opposing teams?
Well, what I saw from them was a patient approach, is that they waited for the pitches that they wanted to see. We talked about that a lot on the air through the course of the games that we saw the Razorbacks, is that it will be very easy to get into those situations where your biggest hitter is not coming through, not by any fault of her own, but because she's not being pitched to, and for the other teams to say, all right, well, we're going to try and do it against the hitters who aren't hitting 450, who aren't hitting 375. And then for those players to take that burden and say, wow, I've really got to be the one to come through in the clutch now and turn that into pressure. So clearly, it's something they've done in the coaching. And having anybody named Gasso on your staff is usually good for coaching. You know, we talked to him before the game on Sunday, and he said, you know, we want our players to just think less, not meaning that they don't want them to approach things in a critical way, but to get up to the plate and just trust your training, not think about, okay, I need to do this here in this situation. But see a pitch in the location that you want it to be in and then drive that pitch. Now, Courtney Day's game-winning hit on Saturday is a perfect example of that. That was a ball that was low and away. If she tries to pull that, she probably rolls over on it and turns it into a ground ball out. Instead, she sticks the bat hat out there, meets the ball where it's thrown, turns it into a base hit into center field, and that's all you need to do. And so when your hitters at the top of the lineup are either, you know, slapping their way on like Reagan Johnson is, or like Bree Ellis was with walking and getting on base, that's just as good sometimes as getting a base hit. I was watching a Red Sox game last night, and they interviewed Jarren Duran, and they said, well, you know, what's it like? You know, you're walking. He goes, I don't care. I'm getting on base for Rafi Devers. Well, that's what Reagan Kramer and Reagan Johnson are doing for Bree Ellis, is getting on base for their best hitter. And so eventually there's going to come a time where folks are not going to be able to work around her, and that's going to be in Arkansas's favor because they have the best hitter in the country.
Couple more things. Just from your seat, taking eyes off Arkansas now and just the sport in general, covering college softball. I know ESPN's played a huge part in just kind of the growth of the sport, but from your seat, what have been the most tangible ways that you've seen college softball really accelerate here in recent years where they're getting these all-time viewership numbers?
Well, I think it's access, in that the ESPN app has been able to bring more games to more people everywhere else, because how can you be aware of something if you can't even watch it to begin with? A promotion of the sport, Meg Aronowitz, who is at the top of college softball at ESPN, was a softball player herself and has been a tireless champion for the sport in terms of helping to grow it. You know, we own and operate at ESPN the Clearwater Invitational at the beginning of the year, which brings together, if you look back over the 6 years of the event, you probably get a 97% success rate of teams that end up playing in the postseason that are in that event. So it's being able to put those big events on TV. It's big stories like Oklahoma winning 4 in a row, having a great slugger like Jocelyn Allo, who ends up interviewed on SportsCenter. MLB Network putting Bree Ellis on TV, and the MLB X account tweeting her highlights out. So it's a multitude of ways. And then the sport has continued to get more competitive. Look no further than the #1 national seed losing this year for the first time in the history of 19, or this is the 20th year of our current playoff format. So it's a lot of things coming together, but I think it starts with the promotion of the sport and understanding, in the same way that when we had a couple of years ago, Sedona Price talking about, hey, this is our weight rack in the NCAA women's basketball tournament, and the men have all these squat racks, of understanding that it's not that people weren't interested in the sport, it's that the investment wasn't always there, and now it's catching up, because the talent level has always been astonishingly high in softball compared to other sports. Now it's getting the platform and the exposure that it's always deserved, and people are realizing what they've been missing out on.
You do a lot of championship level sports, right, for ESPN?
So For postseason, I cover in college, college basketball, college wrestling, and college softball, and then college football too, as far as bowls go. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious from your perspective now, that's a lot of sports you got to have a wide range of knowledge on. How do you do it?
A lot of studying. I would say for every hour that we're on the air, I'm probably doing 8 hours of research, whether it's reading articles, listening to podcasts. You know, at Arkansas, the folks do a great job there with the Hogs Plus content. And so you get a lot of behind the scenes stuff that you don't get at other schools. And talking to players and coaches, the Thursday before regionals begin, we've got 16 sites around the country. And the team in this case that came to Fayetteville was St. Louis, that has little to no media coverage because they play in a smaller league. So it's really fun for me to be able to get to talk to those players and coaches and tell their stories. We learned about that Bree Ellis loves the juicer that she got this year, and she's trying to become a cook. Like, those are stories that you get to tell that maybe aren't otherwise told because you get that face-to-face access to the players. For St. Louis, you know, I'm a big dog person. I've got my two dogs just off screen here at home with me. And so I saw that Christy Knoyer, the St. Louis head coach, has a beagle. I said, "Would you mind texting me some pictures of your dog?" And she sent me one of the dogs sitting in her office window. She's in the background on the phone. And it's just like this great stuff that you're able to humanize these players and these athletes and show that they are who they are beyond the 3 hours a day that they're out on the field, that they're on our TVs. So that Thursday of regional weekend every year is always one of my favorite days of the year because this is a sport, you know, I cover everything from college softball to the NFL and Major League Baseball, where access is much more curtailed, and you might get 5 minutes with a player, and they talk to the media every day, and so it's a little bit of interview fatigue for them at that highest level. And here at this level of a sport that doesn't get as much coverage, you get an invitation in. Hey, whatever you want to talk about, let's talk about it. We're here to help grow the sport, as am I, because I love college softball. I want people to be involved with it, and so it's really fun to get to be a storyteller in that instance too.
Well, where are you off to next?
So this weekend I've got a baseball doubleheader. I go to Boston for a Red Sox game on Saturday as they'll play at Fenway in about 50-degree weather. So I'll need my raincoat for a different reason as I go to Boston. And then Monday on Memorial Day, be in Arlington, Texas for a Rangers Blue Jays game. So the excitement never stops in my world, and just got to make sure I've got my plane ticket ready to go.
Mike, this was excellent. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Ethan. Thanks for having me.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Mike Cousins. Hope you enjoyed the mine and Anthony's discussion earlier, all of our weather talk and the fun that we had on the desk today. Hope you have a safe weekend, and until next time, thanks for listening to our podcast.